BI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators
hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head crash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. That smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
He smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gale, as they fire up.
Morning, Chris. How you doing?
Stephen, I'm extremely well.
Can I just talk anniversaries for a second? This is the year.
Our anniversary, is it?
Plenty of anniversaries. Everybody's celebrating anniversaries at this point in time. So if we go back in time, I know that Elvis Presley died. 1977.
Fact. You
know, Michael Hutchence died in, I think it was
97. Very sadly.
Now, of course, the whole world is sadly celebrating, I think yesterday, the demise of Diana.
Yes,
the Royal Highness, once upon a time. And, of course, this great station of ours, FBI, you're on FBI now, celebrating 14 years, 14 young years this very week.
It's in its adolescence.
It is in its adolescence, and I remember the very first week, there was much fanfare, there was cake, there was crackers, there was things hanging off ceilings, balloons, the whole bit. Everybody dancing and singing to Turn Up Your Radio, a new version that we all know, of course, the original version, Masters Apprentices. But little do they realise that 2 years later, a virus, a little bug was introduced into the culture that is FBI, because here, after all, we celebrate Sydney music, art and culture. And I had to take it to the bosses here, the administration, and say, where is rugby league? Dan Zilber, our famed programmer, said, look, I'm a Swannies fan, mate. I don't know what you're talking about. Megan Loder said, rugby what? And she said, look, you've got 5 minutes, max, 5 minutes. And Brett Oaten and myself said, right, we'll take the five. We'll run with the five. You know, we can cop a lot of stuff into that. The five became six, became 10. No more, they said. 15. Suddenly it was half an hour. They said, look, guys, this is getting ridiculous. No more than half an hour. And now here we are 12 years later with a full hour. And we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the path that was laid down by the great H.G. Nelson. Good morning, H.G.
Yes, delighted to be here on this auspicious occasion. Look, if you keep going like this, in 5 years' time, you'd have a whole morning of rugby league. And isn't that what the people want? Isn't that what the people of Sydney want?
This is what Sydney's clamouring for, H.G.
You know, I suspect the decline in South's numbers is due to the fact that people are at home instead of heading out to Homebush as we speak to get there for 6 o'clock kickoff and listen to you guys. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious where the numbers are.
They got to hedge their bets somewhere. They're listening on radio.
Look, can I just say, South people aren't mad. No. They know that a 6 o'clock kickoff, it's just got disaster, all written all over it. Yeah. They might as well stay at home and watch it on the television and have a warm pie instead of an used by dated sandwich.
And I thought it was just because it was South. I thought that just explained why people don't go. But you're right. You're right. They're actually intelligent, logistically minded people.
Except those who have more beanies than teeth. That's a separate subgroup that you occasionally see in the hutch.
The Orcs of Mortar. Now, if I could also introduce another living legend, the heart and soul of Crown Street, the barber of Frog Hollow, Maddie Clark from Barberia, back again this year. Maddie, good to hear you.
Yeah, I think this might be three times now. Lucky three. Three's a charm. Anyway, a giant pinch and a punch for all the listeners out there. It is the 1st of September.
It is too. Yeah. Spring is upon us.
You first came on with my personal trainer, Neil Harris, who hasn't been invited back, and he does not send his best regards to you at your third appearance.
No.
Can I just say, while we're in a celebratory mood and anniversary, some of the guests that we've had over the years, just to let people know about the bona fides of this show.
Yvonne Sampson.
Yvonne Sampson.
Just wanted to get that in
number
there
one. Number
and a big hello to Yvonne from Bronco Reg.
Let's grovel, shall we? We kicked off, I think, with Ben Gillies from Silverchair, who said, look, guys, I love Newcastle Knights, but I don't really follow the game every week. But I'll come on and talk anyway. You know, we've had many musicians. We've had Dave Faulkner, of course, from the Hoodoo Gurus.
Sharks, man, and rewrote the What's My Scene as What's My Team.
Thing. Exactly.
Very well credentialed.
Well credentialed. And we couldn't get any more credentialed than a referee. Who else has a referee on a radio show?
You get Bill Harrigan on.
Matt Chicken.
Oh. Low ratings numbers.
Look, I've got to interrupt. Have you ever seen a more petty refereeing performance than last night? My goodness.
Well, somebody should have been sent off for foul infractions at that goal line. I mean, Brisbane should have been all sent off, shouldn't they?
Oh, but the pettiness of some of those midfield penalties.
Right.
My God, if that's what we've got to look forward to in the finals, we're in trouble.
Can I point out the Soliola case? Said it all for me. No one gets sent off anymore. That was an incident. I think he returns this weekend.
He does. And you know, Melbourne have put it behind them.
Have they?
Yes,
they're idiots.
Their heads are in the right place.
How can you put that behind you?
Explain to the listeners what he actually did.
Look, as nearly as I can tell, he turned up late, obviously wanted to make an impression with Coach Stewart there, thinking maybe this bloke's passed it, and then he saw an incident where Slater had got rid of the ball about 3 minutes beforehand.
3 minutes?
And decided that I could do some damage here by hitting Slater in the head and then pretending, you know, I was unsighted or I had a fly in my eye. Slater's completely knocked out. The ref standing right there, but he thought it was an excellent play.
Yes. And how knocked out was he, Chris?
Billy, I think he forgot Origin 3, which created the argument that if Billy can't remember who won, they should replay the game to give New South Wales a chance to win.
You would remember, HG, the famous Nathan Brown comment that when he was knocked out, this is before the, what is the call?
HIA.
HIA.
Thank you very much.
He said, where are you? And he goes, the casino. That came straight to mind.
Right. The one I like is, of course, Roy Simmons in the 92 grand final, the first one Penrith run, if I've got the year right. He was concussed in the opening minutes of the game and then, of course, promised to shout everybody in Penrith a beer at the end of it, which obviously is...
He's now bankrupt.
Side. That's right. Well, it's a sure sign that the man's away.
Coaching in England as a result of it.
That's right.
But see, Ola, I think the referees actually made a correct call because they try to tap into the public sentiment and there's a lot of people out there quite happy to see Billy laid out on the ground, I think.
Oh, yeah. I understand that, but the Soliola story is one, you know, the Viking clap, you know, all that stuff. I mean, he just take and Stewart, a.k.a.
The Angry Ant,
a.k.a. Carlos Smithson, a.k.a. Sticky, you know, all
Kane's
of
it. Greatest thinker.
Look, you probably don't know this, but you've done many panels in your life. We were invited on not the highlight, really, was it? It was called the Fourth Estate, and it was all the media were invited to panel up at Peter Sharm RSL fundraiser for Newtown Rugby League Club, because they need our help, and Yvonne Sampson.
Adrian Prasenko, yes. Josh Massoud, Jimmy Smith, yes. Graham Hughes, and Brad Walter. The trout was in full effect.
The flavour of the night.
Big Des Hasler fan, the trout. A lot of love from the trout for Des Hasler.
Yeah, and a fair bit of love in the room for Gus Gould, but no love in the room for Ricky Stewart, I've got to say. Unanimously, Ricky was denounced from start to finish, and the more drinks that flowed, the more the Angry Ant was denounced. It's not even human.
No, but let's not forget, as Chris points out, the game's greatest thinker.
Oh, look. How could we not?
Soon to be New South Wales coach once more.
Oh! On that note, you've got some mail, haven't you, Chris?
Well, you know, I know you love a conspiracy theory, Stephen, and I've got a conspiracy theory that goes into the whole Blues booze revelations last weekend that Laurie had to have his head lopped off, not because of the indiscretions of some of the players, which we might return to a little bit shortly, but because the New South Wales management/coaching group were giving it too big a nudge at the bar.
Yes.
Right? So if Laurie can't control his own, he can't control the players, ..
Out he goes.
The conspiracy theory is that this is Bozo Fulton's work. Right. He's got the NRL pulling the strings.
What?
The New South Wales Rugby League.
Remember, we call him Bozo because he is a clown.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's what he likes to think. I mean, you know that guy in Braveheart with all the warts and everything that's manipulating everybody from behind the scenes, the Machiavellian creatures in history?
Yes.
Bozo.
So
little finger.
sadly, no longer with us. So come 2018, Laurie Daly coaching Manly Warringah.
Laurie Daly, Manly.
Trent Barrett coaching Canterbury Bankstown.
Derek Zoolander, Canterbury.
Des Hasler coaching the New South Wales Blues or the Gold Coast Titans.
Whoa. Well, there's a lot of movement there, Chris.
All around, I suppose.
That makes Game of Thrones look like a simple story, doesn't it? Mate?
All about too many cocktails up at Kingscliff. I don't know.
Yes.
Look, I was pleased this week that you know, we have somebody to blame for that loss, though. Dugan and Blake Ferguson, the drinking two. There was the missing two. People who remember might have been Jared Hayne and somebody else missed a bus in Brisbane once. They became the missing two. Now we've got the drinking two, which is great. Yeah. And look, I did get into that hotel room. Obviously, you know, I knew.
At the Novotel?
No, in the morning, after the drink-a-thon, I did get in there with a, you know, I disguised myself as a room service person at the Star. They let me have a trolley and in on that with a couple
Forensically, did you pull it apart?
No, no, what I did is I just walked in with a couple of bottles of Matusa Rosé and Blue Nun and a slab of Dark and Stormy.
Right.
And the boys had done a tremendous job. For those who know The Who, obviously Keith Moon was a great bedroom, hotel room author.
Yes, exponent,
yes. Fantastic. They glued the Fowlerware to the ceiling, and they got the plumbing almost done, and they had a couple of handholds up there so they could well, basically poo upside down, which is 19 feet. And
has that been done before, H?
David Copperfield, I think, is one of his magic tricks.
That's incredible. And all this in the space of 8 hours.
Yeah.
Carpentry work, well, some drilling.
They're skilled.
They were smeared with mud afterwards. I'm not thinking it was mud.
Yeah. Look, even though they had troubled upbringings, they did put all that time to good use.
Yes.
And look, I thought it was terrific. And sadly, the boys felt as though it gave, you know, Grand Designs, The Block and so on, a lot of free ideas, which they'd kept up their sleeve.
Yeah,
but it did take me back to the Burning Palms, you know, the South's pre-season trip out to Dubbo, where I think Julian O'Neill was very creative.
The hotel room. Very creative,
But isn't it interesting that the supposed allegation about the hotel room was simply that they set off the smoke detectors? And isn't that the PC world?
Is that all?
Yeah, that is
having a durry.
You should be excommunicated for that. Yeah. You used to be throwing a TV out of a
Is that what Sydney's? Is that what Sydney's come to? Is it?
I think so.
Unbelievable. Nanny state, actually. Well, nanny state.
The difficulty is can I point out that, you know, when it comes to the Dally M's, they should have a category. Who did most for the game this year?
Yeah.
We're still talking State of Origin. Yeah. When did it finish?
And what are the metrics? Well, how do you analyse this? You've got to break it down.
The panel obviously has to sit there. I mean, I'm not sure could you get, you know, somebody like Rabs Warren and, you know, dare I say it, Sticky, who'd have a view, a national capital view.
Well, he's smart.
Bolts.
Bozo, obviously.
And Bolts.
Bolts. You know, and so they'd have a panel there, and they'd say, who's done most for the game this year? Mm. Who's kept more, say, column inches in the papers or whatever it is on the TV?
Surely you'd have to go to a playground and ask the kiddies. I mean, the kiddies, obviously, they hear about the colourful stuff, and that keeps them
glued. They love the colourful stuff.
Love the colourful
stuff. That's why they go. Yeah. They want to see which one glued the toilet to the roof.
Exactly. Yeah.
That one there in the number 7.
Rugby League front page.
That's Josh Dugan's son.
That's what they love.
Can I suggest maybe Alan Jones could be on this panel?
Yes, well,
he's a man for all seasons.
A man for all seasons. Yeah. Look, the Parrot is coaching the Barbarian, so he's dipping his toe back into the world of football.
Yes, it's very hard to get Gus back, but the Parrot might be in.
Yeah. Well, where do we stand on Gus and the coaching problems? Is he going to help out? Is he going to put his shoulder to the wheel?
I think he's waiting for absolute destruction. Uh-huh. You know, like everything is leveled, and he's walking in like a hero. No, we're not there yet.
No.
Look, while we're on these sort of colourful things, activities that draw the kiddies in, the famous nudie run at the end of the year for all those that have not scored a point, all those players have to do a nude run. Correct, Chris?
That is correct. Yeah. That's the historic tradition.
Generally,
there are some variations now.
Generally, the big dopey forwards.
Yeah, well, that's right, because the mechanics of the game is wingers score more tries than props.
Gotcha, I understand that. For those that don't follow the league, like listening to Fire Up, that's the way it rolls, right?
That's right.
The Burgi are leading the pack, I believe, in the nudie run.
Yeah, both twins are yet to score a try, possibly something to do with their variable handling over the course of the year.
Or their ineptness and poor play, really. They want to do, but
their lack of effort.
That's right.
And it goes without saying, George particularly has a reputation in this field of nude, and you just need to give a pretty clear berth when George is at full speed, everything flying free, flapping. Right. You can get to take an eye out.
Yeah, well, there was talk, wasn't there, about the great Irishman, Conor McGregor, came in with a stiffy.
Yeah, he was excited to be there.
Yeah, well, the Burgi get excited too.
Yes, they do.
And you dangle a chicken at the end of the run.
That's right. So like the baby
faster.
Race.
Yeah.
Instead of a rattle, you've got a chicken. They'll be motoring along.
I am disappointed, as you point out, in the sanitising of the game, that there's been already calls for Mad Monday And I think in the Souths area, it's not going to happen this year, for,
sadly.
And a lot of caveats on it. Mm. I mean, there's nothing funnier than seeing men dressed as babies running around, drinking in hotels. There's nothing funnier than a nude There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And, you know, we just have to remind ourselves that this is a society which can deal with all these problems. And let's not forget Jarryd Hayne. I mean, in those 49 seconds that he played for the 49ers, he revolutionised the game of American football by introducing the concept of Mad Monday.
They love it. And can I just throw in here, it's so Australian that we celebrate failure. I mean, we look at the great war battles where we fail. If you can't score a try, what else are we going to celebrate but that failure?
See, this is the difficulty thing with Dutton's, you know, citizenship, blueprint, you know, one size fits all.
Manifesto.
State, that's right, manifesto. Is where is Mad Monday in it? Where is an understanding of Mad Monday? Australian.
But look at his face. He's not human.
No, I hadn't thought of that, but you're absolutely
it's a
right.
Brussels sprout.
Yeah, I don't know where they bred
that. It's a Brussels sprout.
Yeah.
But in this me culture, though, is there a risk that the attraction of the nudie run is actually disincentivising players from attempting to score tries? Because they don't want to take
fear
away...
exposure. Yeah.
They don't want to take away that opportunity to be out and proud at the end of the season.
I think it's a disincentive to score a try.
Yes, indeed it is. Have you ever done a nudie run?
I did. Yes. You know, many years ago, the theatre that I was working for thought it'd be great to have nudes in the play, and there's a lot of nude running.
This wasn't hair.
No, it's not quite. It was called, oddly enough, now that I'm talking about this, I think it was called A Night in Rio and Other Bummers.
Bangkok? Chris has done a nude run, I'm sure.
I thought you were going to say it was the importance of being earnest, but no.
Nude basketball.
I think that it's all about acclimatisation, right? And if you can do it nude, you can certainly do it with a singlet and shorts on.
Sure, you can. Yeah. Nude night surfing used to be part of the Fringe Festival, and I put my hand up. I ended that one year.
Rejected?
Why not? Pity you're off Vivid, because I've always had a dream that we could play rugby league in the dark using the UV strips, you know, the UV lights, the Black Theatre of Prague.
You could paint on the sleeve.
On the sleeves, different
and the
colours.
Sloop.
Oh, the sloop, obviously.
Bright
and
orange.
Then, and maybe skeleton, all that sort of.
Can go everywhere. Who's the Minister for Tourism?
What a good question. I know the Minister of Sport is Minister.
Right up behind this.
But I tell you what, we probably would get a couple more hours if you were able to do rugby league in an artistic setting
fashion,
on this station.
Yes.
You know, it'd be a little bit more relevant.
Yes. It's a growth industry. Cash grab, Chris. Those Queenslanders. I mean, we all know about the trial games. Of course, we have the St George South game at the beginning of the year where we raise money for a hospital of their choice. One year at South, one year at St George. The money goes to the sick kiddies. What are the Queenslanders up to? Can you tell me all about this?
I always thought the charity seal was just that people felt sorry for those two teams. They saw them as charities. But
you would like to think that, Chris, as a Balmain supporter.
So... look, you know, the NRL is a house of ideas. We know that, Stephen. And so if there are two people... Well, in fact, there's one person deserving of adoration and adulation on a nationwide scale, and that, of course, is Jonathan Thurston from the FNQ Cowboys.
Indeed.
Heading towards the twilight part of his career.
Whatever he can get, I'm happy for it.
And then on his coattails, President Goat, a.k.a. the Octopus after... Yeah. Brendan Cowell identified last week. That,
best rant ever.
Like Octopi, Cameron Smith has no DNA.
I didn't know that until scientifically, I wasn't aware of that.
That's right. So the Octopus has said to JT, why don't we do a celebration of ourselves?
Yes.
They parlay that into a pre-season game at Suncorp Stadium between the Storms and the Cowboys.
Right.
And every single revenue stream goes into the two pockets of the great footballers.
Right. It says here in the paper today, Phil Rothfield, the man with the banner.
Editor at large.
He says here, they found a legal way to exploit next year's salary cap by a combined $1.5 million in staging a testimonial game to Maroons legends Cameron Smith and Jonathan Thurston. In a dangerous precedent, he says here. The match we play at Suncorp Stadium and all merchandise, all gate takings, in an unprecedented TV rights will go to those two fellows as if they're not paid enough already.
Well, firstly, who's going to play this match? Are we getting old players? Because that's what I'd like to see. I'd love to see Sam Bacco out there, for instance. Just pick one name. Sam Bacco, tremendous. He played the charity match for the Queensland Flood some years ago, which I was lucky enough to help out calling on.
Yes.
Still fit. Still got it all.
So Sam has to come back and play for nothing for Cameron Smith's pocket.
I think
that's the idea. Fair enough.
It's a pay-per-view event. I'll happily part with $60 to see Sam back out.
Now, look, can I say that either it's got to be that or a fair dinkum match where somebody gets taken out Soliolo style in the first 5 minutes. Otherwise, it's just going to be confection. People are going to run around each other. Their score's going to be 49 to 62, you know, that sort of thing. No defence.
I think you're overestimating the judgmental capacity of Queenslanders. They'll turn up to any game that's got Queenslanders in it.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. If you could put the prune, the quince and the kumquat out there again. You know,
now you're talking.
I mean, dream. The axe, Trevor Gilmeister, still chock-a-block full of the chain group.
Alfie.
Well, obviously Alfie.
Not the king.
Deborah Carr.
The king has to call it.
Has to call it.
Yeah, the king has to call it. From the statue.
So you think that they'll happily give their money to those two legends. What is it? Cameron Smith, Prince of Darkness, isn't he the head of somebody?
He's the captain of the Melbourne Storms, the Queensland Maroons, the Australian Kangaroos. Yeah. He's the president of the Rugby League Players Association. Goodness. He plays his 350th game this week to tie Darren Lockyer, and I think it's a terrible development that next week he will be the most capped NRL player in history. Has he done anything for the game? I think not.
Well, negative.
Well, remember he won the AFL tipping competition 1 year.
Oh. That's true. And I forgot to point out, he, of course, is also head of the Referees Association. That's well known.
Can I also point out that our two esteemed guests, HG and the Barber, are both Para fans.
Yeah.
And Para Jesus.
And what a year.
And Jesus is back. Para Jesus, I believe, is making a comeback this week. He'll be on the hill, dispensing wisdom. Semi-Rad Rudra driven, would you say, or more? Is it a greater thing than just semi?
Oh, look, it's one of the most beautiful sights in sport, isn't it? Sammy picking the ball up in the own-in goal, running like 102 metres.
He looks like he's
score.
Talking to himself when he's running.
Yeah, I think he's just sucking in the big ones.
I think the only... are you asking whether they can win the flag this year?
Yes, I am.
I think their pack's the thing that's going to find it hard. The rest of it's pretty together.
Yes.
I'm not sure if Bevan French is injured or how badly he's injured. I mean, he obviously could probably been playing with a knock, by, as they say. Soliolo style. anyway, look, they've got no doubt the backs are just phenomenal, but I think the pack's the one thing that we're worried about.
Kenny Edwards,
even though Nathan Brown's playing really well.
And Kenny Edwards.
I think you're avoiding the obvious here, gentlemen. The two words are, of course, Mitchell Moses. I mean, the gift that the West Tigers have passed on. And let me tell you, he suffered this kid this year because when he goes on against South today, he will be the first person in NRL history to have played the same club four times in one season. And, of course, it's South. So he played for the Tigers, their two games against South. Goes to Parramatta, two games against South. Is there any more cruel punishment than having to endure four games against the Rabbits in a year?
And surely that's something more to celebrate than 355 games of Cameron Smith.
If there's not a testimonial game for Mitchell Moses in the preseason next year, they're doing something wrong.
He's got to have his own run through, surely, this weekend.
Yes.
You know, something like with just a big four on it, rabbit underneath.
Straight through.
When did the banners come into rugby league AFL style? I mean,
Melbourne.
It's Cameron Smith again.
Cameron Smith
ruining
again.
Ruining our game.
Back in a second.
Fire it up! Ready to go!
Fire it up!
Ready to go!
Fire it up!
Ready to go! Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
Seems to be an anti-disco backlash happening at the moment. The song, it says it's playing, but there's no noise coming out.
1978 all over again.
Back to Fire Up. We got HG, Chris Gale, and Maddie Clark. Barbary, how's the Barbary going, Maddie?
Oh, the Barbary's never better.
Yes.
It's worth having a drive down Crown Street to see the new artwork.
Oh, the new artwork at the front.
And as far as the council goes, it came up overnight without our knowledge.
Rugby league themed.
Oh, well, she's got blue hair, so yeah.
Now, let's follow one man's journey, shall we, over the last couple of weeks. One man who's had a very, very, very colourful and very active few weeks, and he's been the talk of the town. Doogs, on the road with Doogs, Chris. Where did all this start? How is his name mentioned in so many activities in the last 4 or 5 weeks?
I think it starts with Origin, doesn't it?
Does it? Stu? Barb Eales from New South Wales State of Origin camp sealed Laurie Daly's fate as coach. So Laurie got embroiled in this situation courtesy of Dougs at some point, but it started before that, didn't it?
That's right. So the artificial trigger is, as we've already pointed out, is just purely a bozo initiative to change coaches. But the initial focus was around a little trip that Dougs and his mate, his cruiser mate, Ferguson, took down to the Lennox Point Hotel during Origin Camp 3.
Right. But it started, as I say, the fish rots at the head, and the administration was chalking up a big bill at the bar.
Apparently.
Yep. It says here, three team camps and a drinking culture that contributed to the downfall of Laurie Daly. The NRL chief executive, New South Wales, I should say, Dave Trodden, and two influential board members told me so. Now, this is a journalist, I'm not my name right now. And the directors already made their own decision because Chairman George Paponis had conducted his own investigation and found invoices from the Star in Sydney and invoices from Pepper's Salt Resort at Kingscliff. Revealed thousands of dollars were spent on beer, wine and cocktails during the team camps. Thousands of dollars, it says him. Andrew Farrer, who is a team manager, says there's no suggestion the players were involved in running up the huge bar bill, so somebody else is to blame.
That's right.
Yeah, that's fair enough, right? I mean, why else would you have a...
That's rugby league.
That's rugby league.
Yeah. Look, and you've got to remember at the Star, you know, to get a simple cocktail like... Brandy Alexander, that sets you back about $67. Yeah. I mean, it's a terrific Brandy Alexander.
And so, that's even if before you go to the marquee nightclub.
Yeah, and to buy something like a, you know, an imported beer like a Carlsberg, that's about $40.
Right.
So, you know, you're not looking at a lot of drinks.
$1,000 doesn't buy you many drinks.
It doesn't. That's what I'm saying. And let's face it, there's a lot of hangers-on. People come, you know, journalists want to get the story and all that sort of stuff. You feel as though you're a player. You've got to do the thing right, you know, to put the... Put the New South Wales view across is that we can't lose and it's going to be 2-1 at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's 2-1 their way, not your way, and you've got the bar bill to worry about. But then, of course, a lot of this money does go on plumbers. And so what happens
and
is...
And cleaners.
And this is hidden. The bar bill is really a tiny fraction of that.
Right.
But the plumbing, Lone Droner and Pronto and all those people get in there and
do their business.
Help out.
Dare I say the bar invoices are probably came from the same authority that issued the invoices that came out of Parramatta Rugby League Club over the last couple of years.
Oh, yes. Right. They've learnt at the feet of the masters, the
exactly
NSWRL.
So the examples were set by the administration. Well, if they can do it, we can do it too. And so Josh Dugan, of course, and as you mentioned, Fergo, they went on a little trip to Lennox Head and carried on. And some say it's more of a gambling issue than it is a drinking issue, but they were there for 8 hours.
It was, raised that they left after the poker draw. I don't know if either of you gentlemen can explain what the poker draw is, but apparently it was pretty significant down at the pub.
Right.
No, but look, they did the right thing, the Lennox Head Hotel. They put out public announcements.
Yes.
ladies and gentlemen, please be mindful that from 10 past 11 we will have rugby league players on the premises. That went on, and then, you know, I remember trying to get a drink and they said, HG, might be your last drink. I said, why? It's only 12 o'clock. And they said, well, we've got rugby league players coming. I said, fair enough. And moved on. When it came to the TAB machine, I mean, obviously... I think it was Greyhounds at Maitland or something like that. Terrific. They had a lot of inside information. And so, of course, they won a lot. So they kept on drinking. I mean, it's simple like that. But they had the place to themselves. They weren't hurting anybody. And when it came the end of the night, the barman, bar staff could hose out the joint and was ready for business first thing in the morning.
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner. That's right.
Yeah, great.
Except the Blues in Game 3.
Well, apparently. And, of course, there was more to this story. But Dougs, of course, was...
Can I point out, Bob, before you go on, is that look at the conversation we're getting out of it. Here we are at the start of the final season. We're still talking about Origin and bar bills and plumbing and all that sort of stuff, which is just great. That's what you want from a season of rugby league.
I agree.
Don't want a win where you think, oh, they won, did they? Oh, gee, what a surprise. who we got as coach next year? Laurie Daly, you bloody beauty.
So when they come to decide... that panel comes to decide who's made the greatest contribution.
Exactly.
It's Dugan and Hayne neck and neck right now.
Correct.
Neck and neck.
That wasn't the end of the story of Dougs' adventures, was it, Chris?
No, it keeps on going, Stephen.
No. So the Dragons were happy to have him back because we were losing. We were on a losing streak during Origin.
Happy to have him back on centre money, not fullback money.
Only centre money, exactly. A couple hundred thousand difference, you know. So anyway, apparently there are disciplinary sort of requirements of a player. And Dougs understood these, but apparently he's been, you know, defaulting slightly. There is a bus because they come from Wollongong. They've got to get to Penrith. Now, bus leaves at what time?
There's their first mistake. What the hell are they doing coming from Wollongong going to Penrith? Don't they have a home ground in Cogra?
They've driven from Cogra to Wollongong to get on a bus to Penrith.
Even if you live in Cogra, exactly. Yes.
So what's confusing to me is if I've read the media reports correctly, the bus actually is in the Shire, which is like the midpoint, I guess, between Cogra and Wynn Stadium. 1 o'clock for a 4 o'clock kickoff. That's the bus departure time.
That seems a bit tight, doesn't it?
Well, it's more generous than Dugan's version of what the departure time was.
Right. So Paul McGregor had warned players to be punctual. Josh Dugan missed the bus.
He couldn't find his Opel card. As simple as that. He tore his room inside out looking for the Opel card. Right. He didn't realise the Leagues Club had put the bus on for him.
Yeah, he didn't have to pay for it. No, okay.
But there's Dugs. He doesn't want anything for free.
Yeah. So he misses the bus.
But he thought it was 2 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
Which so. Is tight yeah, to get yeah. from... the Shire to Penrith.
To Penrith and play a game in 2 hours.
And warm up and be strapped and have the liniment rubbed
on. But I think Duke's had another mission in mind. I think Sydney traffic has been much discussed. It's the curse of the city and we've got a bad rep for it. I think he wanted to put it to the test, didn't he? Faster by bus, faster by personal transport. Who won?
Duke's in a canter.
Yeah.
And he's actually being sponsored by one of those GPS companies.
Oh, yeah.
And he was able to get in his own... I imagine Duke's is a sedan type of guy. I don't think there'd be anything more fancy than that.
Might be 4x4.
Exactly. And he's hit the go on the tachometer and the clock and everything else. Right. And he's actually turned up at Pepper Stadium and he's dressed, ready to go. And he's actually in the car park greeting the Dragons as they arrive, going, boys, where have you been?
And he's not allowed to play.
He's not allowed to play. He's making a... important point, and he's Mary.
Chris, culture. Culture.
Yeah, the gospel according to Mary.
Yes.
Yeah. Do as I do. A couple of drinks on the way home.
He ran it by the, I think, the elder statesman, you know, the leading players group.
Doused. Langland, Smith.
So what should we do here? So, well, you know, you've got to back your culture, don't you? Culture. It's all about culture.
Is it a bus-driven culture?
Bus-driven culture, yes. And if you're not on the bus, you're not part of the culture.
And, you know, when they got on the bus, they thought, oh, somebody's missing here. Now, who is it?
Who's missing?
It's that bloke with all those tattoos.
Yeah, that bloke with the tattoos.
The Illustrated Man.
What is this thing with buses and rugby league this year? Me, as a Tigers fan, have had to do a lot with the clear. We're on the bus, getting on the bus. Am I on the bus? I'm off the bus. And now you're trying to appropriate. The one thing we've got out of this season is out. We've cornered bus culture.
Yeah, right.
And now you're getting all over us.
Mate, winners are winners, aren't they?
Yeah, right.
And you remember Stephen Bradbury, don't you?
I do.
Well, you know, St George, Stephen Bradbury this year. What do you think?
Well...
there's eight ahead of us. They go down.
Yeah, I suppose so.
St George comes through.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Fair enough.
you know my other conspiracy theory, don't you?
Oh, tell me.
Is around...
if Gus Gould's going to coach New South Wales.
That's right, we'll get to that.
We'll never get to his assistant.
Is, say, heaven forbid, you do prevail over the Canterbury-Bankstown Bulldogs come Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
What if Penrith and Manly drew?
Well, that would make 90 that would make 9-8, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so you could...
we win, we go in.
I know, in fact, now you'll get the Cowboys, won't you, on for and against. So you need to lose, basically.
Now, Matty... HG, we all know about the great culture, talking of culture, that has been, I suppose, delicately sort of fostered and flowered in the Cronulla Sutherland region. What was once a toxic swamp has produced this this beautiful pearl that is the rugby league club that won last year. And that culture will not be, I suppose, not besmirched, but not be, the standards won't
sullied.
Be... sullied. Sullied is the word. Paul Gallen came out and said, if Dugan, who was signed with Cronulla Sutherland, comes, he's got to keep to the high standards that we work by here... at Cronulla Sutherland. Now, can I just remind everybody about this culture?
Yeah, well, they failed a drug test the day after the grand final. That's pretty good culture.
That's not bad. Not bad.
Hello, Ben Barber.
Asada, blackest day in history.
And remember, of course, the boss. Was it a Woolloomooloo Hotel?
Yeah. Cocaine?
Sadly, in there the Keogh. Night the Keogh. Cops decided to do a bit of a sweep. They didn't have enough to do with Operation Hain, so they ducked in there.
Ducked in there?
Yeah. Caught Operation Backdoor Benny Elias ensnared a big wig.
Caught a shark.
Caught a shark.
Who could forget Toddy Carney and the great bubbler, you know?
Just settled.
Now, Toddy Carney, is he able to come
back?
He's
free.
Yeah, he's
free.
He's
back.
He's back. Free now, but he's just settled his unfair dismissals. Catalan has kicked him along. He's off to nowhere right now, because apparently, and amazingly to me, no one seems to want Todd.
What?
Can you believe that? That talent sitting on the benches.
I tell you what, as soon as Jared Hayne becomes captain coach of the Gold Coast, the first call he'll make.
Jim Rose's circus is looking for a new act.
Yes, exactly. Now, I haven't even finished here.
Gal himself. Standards of the man.
You will remember his amateur sort of medical practice, of trying to undo the stitches of another player.
Anthony LeFranchi's stitches.
That's right, field.
Josh Graham's wheels.
Yeah. Oh, the squirrel grip.
And remember, of course, the bout that we all want to see, SBW v. Gal.
Gal.
I mean, is that ever going to happen?
Yeah. That's the culture.
It'll outrate McGregor and Mayweather easily. And
Stephen Dank and the Gazelle.
And And even just last Saturday with Cronulla's premiership defence on the line and top four being an essential thing, who gives the game-losing penalty with 1 minute to go? Gal.
Right. It says he's moving to the Sharks. Skill. This is Dugan, and I'm certainly happy we're signing him, Gal says. He says, without a doubt, he's a great player, and you talk about fitting into a culture and fitting into a club, and he's just going to have to... I think he'll learn when he gets here and sees the way we train in the pre-season, sees the attitude in the team meeting, everyone buys in and puts into whatever we're doing. Whatever we're doing. That's the key word here.
I know, but remember, of course, he's got a boot full of vinyl that he'll be driving down to the clubhouse every day.
Yes.
And once he gets onto those wheels of steel, you'll be out of a job.
We'll be out of a job.
You know, he'll be playing... Bo Brummel's gear and
Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Yeah, that's right. Union Gap. Yeah, all that sort of
while
stuff.
We're on to music, any suggestions? I know Macklemore's been announced for the grand final. Any other acts you'd like to see?
What happened to Lewis?
Yes, what happened to Lewis?
Well, the forgotten man. It's like Andrew Ridgeley from Wham.
It's like Eric B. One
minute you're a star, and now it's just Macklemore.
Yeah. Now, can I ask? An innovation would be if the both captains came out and sang the national anthem.
Oh. Both captains. Oh. Wow. That's never been put forward, has it?
No. Well, it's been put forward right here on Fire Up now.
Right. Wow.
Let's have a survey. Yeah.
Look, if you want to put any suggestions.
Postal survey.
Only cost
I can't imagine Cameron Smith being too. You know, a lot of Americans are very florid with the anthem. They sort of improvise, they scat.
Yes.
I think Smith would be down the line with the anthem.
He would hit every note correctly.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
No, none of this.
He's the type of guy who'd know the second verse, isn't he?
Right. Then, of course, they're going to swap over and sing each other's club song before it.
Beautiful.
It's a sad state of affairs when you're talking about Cameron Smith singing already.
Yeah, you're just assuming.
We don't even know who the other team will be.
I keep saying the grand final everyone wants to see is the Storms versus the Storms.
Yeah.
Because the only team that can beat the Storms
is the Storms.
Is the Storms.
Yes. Well, let's hope that Dukes can pull his socks up and perform properly for
Cronulla
Sutherland. Why? Exactly.
He hasn't won the award yet.
Pulls his socks up, we don't see his...
Then we'll lose the kiddies then, won't we?
We will.
Yeah. We'll see you. Back in just a moment.
Fire up!
Fire up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Fire up!
Ready to go!
It ain't no good getting low down when you're looking to get thrown in a can. Like driving 90 mile an hour, getting speeding tickets from the man. But I'm just mad about this girl, but she's gone and I'm mad at the world. I just laid a patch of rubber down the road about a quarter mile long. Cause I'm all fired up, and lonesome. I got a chip on my shoulder, I'm acting just a little too tough. I've been revving up the motor, and tonight I'm gonna strut my stuff. Yeah, I've been roaring like a lion, and I'm tired of all this crying, and I'm tired of being kicked around like a little whooped butt. Because I'm all fired up, and lonesome.
Celebrating 12 years in the hot seat, Fire Up here on FBI. Well, FBI, of course, is a not-for-profit community station. If you'd like to send us a text, 0409-945-945, to congratulate us here on Fire Up for 12 good years. And as I said, I think the administration are now completely concerned. They didn't realise it started as a five-minute show and grew to a 15 and then a half an hour. We look like we might even go over the hour today in celebration.
You probably shouldn't have highlighted that because traditionally the management of FBI is not awake at 9 o'clock in the morning.
They're
unaware of what's going on.
We've been under the radar.
But how good that you guys were prescient enough to commission Low those 12 years ago, Junior Brown, to write a theme song like that.
Amazing stuff, isn't it?
Really good job.
And we badgered
stuff.
The NRL all those years to have him at the grand final, not to be.
And you're not frightened to play it, Stephen. That's what I say about you. You're not frightened
afraid
to play
of
that
no,
record.
No. Reinforce. Sad figures. Well, I suppose predictable, really. The South fans, I think, sometimes are like Swans fans in this city. They're fair-weather friends sometimes. You know, where were the 80,000 that marched, Chris? Where are they now? What is their average attendance number now?
Well, they've just come in one or two clicks over 10,000.
10,000.
They've bottomed out as 16th out of 16 NRL clubs.
No, like bottom
average list. Attendance. I'd say the 80,000 might have been marching a little bit like Lemmings. So.
Yes, and that glory year when they won, everybody was a South fan, right? Everybody you knew that didn't follow sport was a South fan. Yeah. Now they're no good. Now, of course, ANZ, the place where atmosphere goes to die, HG.
Well, Look, it is difficult because the state government, since it sold the poles and wires, is suggesting that it revamp a number of the stadiums.
Yes.
The Sydney Football Stadium, I forget what it's called, that's...
Allianz.
It's described as a death trap.
they'd
be lucky to get anybody killed in there because so few people go. But if they...
They're worried about them, like, having to exit. Is that
right? No, that's right.
In the event of an alien invasion.
Well,
Independence Day style.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If there was an alien invasion, that's where it'd end.
Imagine the
no one had noticed. Now, look, as we know, when we look at rugby league, we see a lot of seats that no one sat in. But the trouble is, no one's ever sat in those seats.
What, not since the Olympics?
Or
grand
final.
That's
out at Homebush. Yes. But the other one, the Moore Park one, I would say there's pristine seats in there.
Yes. Now, never touched.
Never touched.
Plastic still on.
Bum. Or pie. Look, I don't know why they're getting such a head of steam up about revamping the stadium. In fact, you'd be better off building a couple of permanent grandstands at Mudgee or at Dubbo or wherever
Bathurst.
Bathurst.
Well, you and Matty are para fans. You'll have the ideal stadium.
I know.
Why bother with anything else?
But honestly, you'd be able to get some seats there, I think, or you wouldn't have to put all the seats in, I don't think, at Parramatta, in the new Parramatta stadium.
No, 20 will do it.
20 actual seats.
Actual seats.
20 actual seats. Is that what we've come to?
If you want a metaphor of what's going wrong with this town, it's the plans for the precinct around Parramatta Stadium.
Oh, yes.
Fromageries, boulangeries, craft breweries.
World class.
Culture museums.
Can I point out that there does seem to be a rather disturbing trend of people not going to football matches?
Yes. Overall,
yes. It doesn't matter what it is. It's easy to see when the Wallabies don't help out by losing everything in sight. That's a separate issue. And the only team in Sydney that does win is the Swans.
Can I horrify you, Matt, HG, just for a second?
Yes.
Well, looking at our guests over the years, we've had many. We've had Todd Greenberg.
True.
Have you had Todd Greenberg?
Toddy came in here and told us that he applauded the soap opera that was rugby league and our actions in supporting it. So there you go.
And made Josh Dugan Player of the Year.
Yes, exactly. David Gallup was as a guest. You know, we've had many of those.
Didn't have much to say.
Hey, what's that?
He didn't have much to say, though.
He didn't have much to
say. Well, he was running A-League at the time.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's true. But on one particular occasion, we had the wonderful Steve Mortimer come in. And he brought a friend, didn't he, Chris?
Yeah.
Nick Farr-Jones.
Yes.
Ooh. All he wanted to do was steer the conversation back to rugby union. What a glorious game it was. He didn't quite get it, I don't think.
Why did you allow me on?
Exactly.
You knew what he's going to talk about.
I know.
What's Turvey doing hanging out with him anyway?
Best mates.
The thing that some people are saying is that the marketplace is saturated. I find this very, very difficult to believe.
Oh, you mean when the numbers are down?
This is... People have choice and it's costing too much. I know the Rugby League's trying to do something about this with this free pie giveaway and $10 in for every kid as opposed to paying $10 for every kid to get in, etc.
Give them cash, you say?
Yeah, give them cash.
Like Channel 9 or something,
But actually, if what you say is true, isn't it odd that now Mike Baird is coming across as the voice of reason? Because Gladys Berejiklian is saying yes to every stadium proposition put in front of her.
Yeah.
She was in Japan meeting with Shinzo Abe, talking up how she's going to turn Henson Park into a boutique statement, which is great news for the Jets. Though I hear the Jets might be changing their allegiances from the Sharks to the Storms. That's just a little rumour I'm hearing.
Is that right?
Really, the whole world is turning upside down.
You've got all the mail, haven't you?
Yeah.
Mm. Any truth to that, or did you just make that up?
No, I did not make that up. It was on Facebook, and as we all know,
even if they're not turning up to the games, the power of redemption in rugby league cannot be overestimated, can it?
It makes the Catholic Church look like amateurs.
Absolutely.
I've said that before, and I'll say it again. The Catholic Church needs to get into the rugby league business when it comes to redemption. Well, have a look at what rugby league's doing with redemption.
Have you got an example?
Well, we have Matt Lodge.
Yes, Matt
Lodge.
Matt Lodge. Remember how New York fell under the spell of rugby league briefly while Matt Lodge was in town?
So he was displaying the great qualities of rugby league on tour.
Well,
was he living there?
End of season, right.
And
okay.
he went on a terrific weekend there, and in the weekend he managed to stalk and kidnap and disturb a whole apartment building with his powerful rugby league message.
Romance
rugby league style.
Rugby league style, right.
And I'm not sure where the various people that he encountered along the way didn't press charges, which was probably a good idea otherwise.
Fear.
He wouldn't be back in Australia now.
Right.
And personally, I believe the people he encountered in his rampage saw the beauty and power and wisdom of rugby league. That's one side of the redemption story. The other side of the redemption story is that Matt Lodge described in the paper here as former NRL bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hang on a minute. Which player can't be described in those words?
It's a generic pat on the back, isn't it?
It is. He's weighing up a comeback with Brisbane. In 2018.
Wow.
He's bounced back from controversy to impress, obviously, Wayne Bennett with Redcliffe. He's been playing with Redcliffe. Yep. West Tigers sacked Lodge following the arrest at a gunpoint and after a drunken rampage in New York in October 2015.
I always wonder why we did that. I mean,
given him permission to come back next year. We want him to be with us and we hope that'll happen, Bennett said midweek. He knows we have supported him all the way through this, and that's terrific.
When it comes to, you know, bad behaviour, there's a no strikes policy. You know,
you've got to remember how unprepared New York is for the power of rugby league.
Yes.
You know, you go to bars in New York, there's no announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, please, we are
no announcement at all.
There's no suggestion that from 10:15, no signs out the front saying 10:15, it's a rugby league zone.
Yeah.
You have been advised or make your own plans.
Yeah. So when he went in front of the magistrate, did he just say, this is the way we roll in rugby league?
Obviously he couched it in more legal terms like that. He had watched, obviously Law and Order a few times and understood the lingo. And how to pass himself off as an upright member of the sporting community, the sporting world, representing Australia, lost from home, saw attractive people, didn't know how... Yeah.
Clash of cultures.
Clash of
Crocodile
cultures.
Dundee style, yeah, you know, beautiful. Fish out of water
misunderstandings.
Story. Misunderstandings. Yeah, exactly.
Cultural
differences. Wasn't he jailed?
Well, he was detained for a while. I think he might have not done so well in the civil proceedings.
Right.
He might own a little bit of coin.
Sorry, that was the separate issue.
Aren't they doing great work at the Redcliffe Dolphins? I mean, look at Benji Marshall. He went down to Redcliffe and now he's just playing up a storm last night.
The Tigers.
Matt Lodge on his way. Well, Benji's coming back.
Yeah, back to the Tigers. Now, talking about misplaced culture or fish out of water, wouldn't it be great to see the Titans bring some of that culture back to North Sydney? So the Gold Coast, what happens on the Gold Coast? Schoolies. Yeah.
Bikey violence.
V8 supercars.
V8 superstar. It's a wash with cocaine.
Is it?
It is. Unlike Sydney.
Yeah, that's right.
Meter maids. Bring them down.
Did you say cool and get a gold? I mean, that's an important part of the culture.
So once or twice a year, you bring it all back down into North Sydney and celebrate it.
You're speaking, of course, of the fact that the Titans are up for sale, and who hasn't wanted to get on board with that?
Yes.
I mean, they're getting a lot of bids. But the Bears are throwing their hat into the ring.
Yeah. So you can close down Miller Street for, twice a year, have a parade of meter maids?
That's right.
Schoolies got running amok?
You'd turn Percy's Hotel into something like, you know, Sin City 2?
Yes.
Something like that?
The big difficulty with this is Zillman's retiring.
Oh, that's confusing.
Very sad news. Yeah, because they did have value with Zillman there. But now that he's offered to retire or threatening to retire.
But the latest story is that they gave him a tearful farewell last weekend.
That was lovely.
Where Jared kicked the ball out on the full, which was the biggest cheer that Jared got all day. And now it's apparent that Zillman actually may not be retiring.
That's right. They sent him off and now he's back.
It's like the Coltrane and Dave Taylor. Is he leaving Canberra? Is he not leaving Canberra?
Can I ask, are the Titans worth anything? I mean,
Apparently you get the Suns thrown in for free. You pick up the Titans, the Suns come part of the package.
Would you raise the value if Jared Hayne was captain coach?
Of the Suns?
The eccentric value.
Both.
the eccentric value would be tremendous.
Yes.
But what worries me is they're starting to roam a bit, aren't they? Because they're the Gold Coast Titans whose home ground is North Sydney Oval and occasionally play at Graham Park.
Yeah.
That's a very hard triangle to...
Talk to the West Tigers about
that. Of course, that's not great for us.
Hey, we've got a song.
Fantastic.
About Dennis Hay. From Dennis Kane.
From Dennis Carnahan.
Dennis Carnahan.
About Jared Hayne. Dennis has got Rugby League the Musical every Monday in September at the Bridge Hotel.
Your team fell apart and you're to blame. You gave your club Jared Hayne. Publicity. It's what he sells. A journalist's heaven puts coaches through hell. He lost origin when he bombed that try. His very first coach was his first coach goodbye. Whoa, Smith, Taylor, Hagen. Yeah. Whoa, Connie and Anderson. Tom Shula and Henry and Daly are gone. Your team fell. Jared Hayne.
Rugby League the Musical. Coming to where, Chris, please?
The Bridge Hotel Rosale, across from the Balmain Meth Lab.
Mondays in September.
Every Monday in September. Mad Monday.
Mad Monday.
I mean, Dennis, he really sees links, doesn't he?
He does.
You know, that's a tremendous idea. It's a great show, Stephen. I'd like to go with you one day. And HG and Maddie, he'd love to see you both there as well.
Now, HG, if Rugby League the Musical was in New York, perhaps that would have paved the way for any of this behavioural sort of, issues that they have
in New York. They get used to it. And, you know, let's face it, New York's a pretty open place.
It is.
And it's accepting of all comers.
Absolutely.
I think Rugby League could do a lot worse there. I understand they've got a cricket competition going there. Quite a substantial cricket competition.
Well,
going.
There's an African-American cricket team in Los Angeles, I think, isn't there?
There is quite a big subcontinental, you know, as in India. India.
Pakistan.
Bangladesh. Let's not forget Bangladesh this week.
And remember, of course, you know, we didn't exploit that connection with the Afghanistan, refugee camps get some more spinners.
More spinners.
That's what we obviously
come in
need.
Spinner, that's not right. out, in.
Fancy going back to Stephen O'Keefe.
I mean, wouldn't it be a great cultural moment, though, to go to New York Theatre and get one of those yellow playbill programs for Rugby League the Musical?
Rugby League the Musical.
Wouldn't that be...
You've got Dennis Salivati now. Yes.
We're on the world map now.
Yes.
You know, I think Matty Lodge has done more for the game than, say, that Long Beach match in 87.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. No one talks about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sturlo, if you sort of see him now, he doesn't move as well as he used to. That's a legacy of getting caught up in that banner.
Indeed it is.
And yet Smith continues to want to bring the banner
back,
regularly into rugby league.
I thought he was all for about player welfare.
You would think
His own welfare.
Yeah, exactly. My welfare to the tune of 750 grand for an exhibition game.
Talking of Australian individuals, Daly Cherry Evans, he did something marvellous last weekend, didn't he?
He kicked a field goal off both feet.
Off both feet. It's not an easy thing to do, is it? Anyone who knows who right-handed, left-handed, it's hard to throw a ball or to kick a ball.
But he's got the football whisperer in his ear.
Oh, yes, the whisperer. Tell us about that, Chris. Who is the whisperer?
Joe Weeby. Or Joe Weeby too.
You whispered.
Yeah. So he's a mind consultant, and isn't that a growth industry?
It sure
mind
is.
Mind consultants.
And if there's anybody susceptible to that, it would be Daly Cherry Evans.
And
the $10 million man.
Yes, exactly.
The Tigers boys have been queuing up Woods, Tedesco, Moses for Joe's words of guidance. And DC's conclusion, having spent a lot of time with Joe, is that previously I wasn't trying hard enough.
Right.
$10 million isn't much motivation, is it?
No.
So what does he do? Does he whisper you to sleep or whispers you awake?
Well, you've got to pay big money to find that out.
It's a fancy version of having your tyres pumped up, I reckon.
Can I also direct, while we're doing the Musical, The Probe, the greatest thing on radio?
Probe, yes. Yeah,
Triple M, Saturdays, Roy and HG.
And remember, of course, there is a podcast of The Probe for those who are busy with rugby league duties on Sunday morning.
Morning, yes. Get the kiddies
there. Refereeing or punching refereeing or burning a car of a referee.
Punching
the tyres down on a car of a referee, etc.
I know I'm putting you on the spot here, HG, but if you were to say there was a recurring theme or story of the year with The Probe, what would you...
In the rugby league area? I think the recurring story is that Canberra player who dobbed himself into the police.
Josh Papali.
Yeah, Josh Papali, thanks very much. And said, I'm out here, come and get me.
Come and get
not
me.
Once, not twice, twice but three times. It's a beautiful story.
It is, isn't it? It's a rare story too.
Our perspective on that was that, you know, we get a lot of press now in these troubled times and global threats, terrorism, and that, you know, you've got to dob in anything that looks suspicious, you know, essentially dob in your mate.
Oh, look, the cash at the bus stop in the bag.
That's right.
You know, don't go past
that. You're bombarded with advertisements that says, be vigilant, we're concerned, we're going to help you. And Papali wanted to put that to the test. He's run the police three
just
times. There's someone out here drunk and got no response.
Nobody came.
And he's underlining an important social message. We're being sold a line by this government, and I've had enough.
Yeah, it's all just buddy glib talk, isn't it? Now, Matty, you're a hairdresser. Do you give discounts to rugby league fans?
Oh, of course, Steve.
Of course you do. And what would you say is the best rugby league haircuts this year that you've witnessed? Oh. There's been quite a few. I mean, I know that, you know, the Canberra chap, the
look, I'm more a Mad Monday fan.
Mad Monday fan.
The odd eyebrow missing.
Yes.
You never get sick of one eyebrow.
The Canberra chap.
Didn't I? Oh, look, I happened to glimpse. I changed the channel and caught the, what are they called? The Wallabies, right?
Yeah, the Wallabies.
Yeah, Wallabies. And I think there was a New Zealander that had just a patch of hair on the back of his head. Like, not even mullet, just like he shaved everything but the back.
This is the Bledisloe.
Yes, what do you call that haircut?
Oh, look, he was born like that. You can't cut that. No.
Even you can't do that, a master.
No. That's beyond my capability.
Okay.
What does Nagama involve? Kevin Nagama, which is sort of like the old kid and play hi-hat.
I shudder to think what he puts in his hair to make it stand up like that.
Yes, that's right. The 80s are back still.
Do you have, given that you would say that's not off the rack, I mean, do you have to put a tender document
Look,
together?
No, that's a very special, I feel that. I'd say he's got a niece or an auntie. Yeah. He might have a nice little salon in Bankstown.
Can I ask you about the progress of the baldness of Aaron Wood? You predicted that he was going to go bald early.
You know, I think he might be on some hair stoppers. I do.
Plugs?
No, not plugs yet.
Just stop the movement.
I think there may be a bit of Rogaine for men in there.
Yes, yes.
Well, speaking of plugs, Harry Beitzel died recently, and he was the first person I ever noticed had plugs.
Is that right?
Yeah, Harry Beitzel.
Even before John Laws.
Oh, I hadn't thought about Laws in relationship to Harry Beitzel.
Talking of great media giants, and like, you know, you're a speck, HG is, and when compared to this man, you really don't even rate. Can I just tell you a story? Okay.
Good.
Now, Gary Jack was quoted recently. He was on the Wide World of Sport, and he said, "It's fair to say you didn't get on with Alan Jones."
He didn't get on with Alan Jones. No, that was Gary Jack.
Yeah. Jack replied, "You certainly could say that. We'd had Warren Ryan before him, and he was a great coach." Do you know the backstory to this, Chris?
In what sense do I know the backstory to Warren Ryan?
Well, Gary Jack's position, Tigers? Who was he playing for?
He was playing for the Balmain Tigers, yes. West Junior, coming up from Wollongong. Yeah. Of course, we had great times in the late 80s.
Yes.
Played a couple of grand finals. Yeah. Wock Ryan was coaching.
Yeah.
I think Junior Pierce had a... No, it was... I'm not exactly sure. Maybe straight after Wock came Alan Jones, 91 to 93.
Straight after.
Which I refer to as the Dark Ages.
The Dark Ages. Mm. Dark. It's a bold claim.
No, this inform me. Alan Jones is golden tonsils.
No,
John Laws.
Yes.
He's got another.
Nothing golden about Alan Jones.
Alan Jones, AKA the Parrot.
So anyway, he says here, Wock was a great coach, and then this bloke who had never had anything to do with league came in. This bloke, right?
Yeah.
Apart from anything, we could barely understand him.
Yeah.
The stuff he talked about. He said he kept going on about Nadia Comaneci getting a perfect 10 at the Olympics. The players tried to work with him, but it became apparent to us all that he had no idea and it was hard to respect him. It got to the stage that I stopped enjoying the game and did something I never thought I'd do. I quit the Tigers. Now, that's a pretty strong word.
Stopped enjoying rugby league.
Altogether. Yeah, that's the effect Alan Jones will have on you.
What? I know, but remember, the Parrot is packing down with the Barbarians. I'm not quite sure when the match is on, relatively soon.
Right. I think it's a doubleheader with the Smith first in the
fair. the only way they'll get a crowd.
What is the thing that rugby league can draw or learn from gymnastics? That's the major question.
Well, that's something I'd like to put to you.
Alan,
what would Nadia happen to teach footy players?
Well, you know, what is it? Balance, poise,
flexibility.
Flexibility, you know? Yeah.
Grace under pressure. Yeah.
Success, the ability to perform.
How to take an order, you know? Do it.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't Russian, was she? She was
Romanian.
Romanian, of course she was. How could we forget?
She suffered under the Ceausescu regime, as so many people did.
God almighty.
But they turned out tremendous. This is the thing. Say what you like about Ceausescu. He may well have been an evil dictator, but gee, they were competitive in gymnastics in that period. Where are they now?
Indeed. My favourite Ceausescu story, if it won't take long, is that he loved shooting things and he had quite a record
Putin,
of shooting
Putin
animals.
Too. Putin likes to shoot, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He loves fishing and underwater, anything.
Yeah.
You know, Putin's
great.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ceausescu imported a few polar bears who shoot at. He did. Mercifully, the polar bears had the last laugh and died before he got a chance to shoot them.
Conor McGregor was wearing those very polar bears in the World Press Tour.
He was too.
He was.
And did they breed those polar bears?
No, there's no
remnant of them anymore.
No, left nothing behind.
Nothing behind.
Yeah, one in the eye for the old dictator.
One in the eye. Oh, dear. Well, that brings us to the end of a glittering season. Your last game this weekend with the West Tigers.
Correct, against the Warriors, 6:30 Leichhardt Oval Sunday.
Bronco Reg here. He's still in the hunt.
Still riding high on the hog.
Yeah, the St. George, Stephen Bradbury, Illawarra Dragons are still in the hunt. And the Parramatta.
I feel friendless in this atmosphere.
Parramatta finished fourth. We've got to play Melbourne.
You don't want that? I think you want that.
Yeah, we want that.
Yeah, you want that.
We want to play them twice.
Yes. Good on you. I'd love to see... I mean, your perfect image, Rad Rudder running straight over Smith.
That's in the opening minute.
Opening minute.
Yeah.
Straight over his head.
In the fourth minute again.
Yeah. I mean, we mean no harm to anybody, really.
I wouldn't mind if he did it while Smith was running on the ground.
Yes.
Just Rad Rudder just
veers.
Straight over. Makes a statement. I tell you what, Vunivalu v. Rad Rudder. That's a matchup I'd like to see.
It would be.
Yeah. There you go. HG, thank you very much for coming in.
Delighted, fire uppers.
Yeah, 12 years in the running. Chris, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure.
We will be here for the final series, though.
Yes, we'll be here all the way through to and after the grand final and possibly beyond when we dig in revolution style and try and get more than 1 hour per week.
And remember the testimonial next year. You'll be
well,
here for that.
Oh, that's right. We'll be live for that one.
Matty, thank you very much.
Oh, look, absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Barber from Frog Hollow. There's a history. You're the heart and soul of Crown Street Barberia. That's where you go if you want your special haircuts and just your good haircuts, basically.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!